Good morning. It's the day of Pentecost, or it's the day when we remember and celebrate Pentecost, the giving of the life-giving, life-affirming Holy Spirit to the disciples, the apostles, to the church, and to us. Remember that God is eternal. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. 2 Peter 3:8. We're reminded that God is the same yesterday and today. So that same Holy Spirit that was given to those disciples, and as we hear it in the book of Acts, chapter 2, that same Holy Spirit is available to us at this moment. You and I can receive it in the same way. But I suppose we must say that as we read the book of Acts, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. This infilling of the Holy Spirit transforms the individual. There is a miracle, you know, which we have been missing in the lockdown. And it is, for so many of us, the miracle of human presence, of being with others, be that family or friends, people that we get along with, people that understand us, people that we can share our deepest thoughts with, and people that we can have a good argument with as well, and still understand one another at the end of it. But the presence that we haven't been denied is the miracle of the holy presence, of God's presence. So although we may not have had the human presence, we have always at our fingertips, where we pray, we've had that miracle of God who comes to us. Unless God is in the building of the house, then the labour's in vain. Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those whom he loves. And so we haven't been denied that presence, the presence of the Lord, and indeed the Lord has promised us that we will never lose that presence. And so one of the things which we have been given is silence. How do you get on with silence? In the silence, it can be either a food or a poison. If it's a poison, then we fear it and we don't know what to do with it. But that silence, which has settled over so many things, you can be still with. And you can hear the still, small voice of God. And that way, if we are able to do that, we can turn just surviving to wellness and to thriving rather than just surviving. Some of you may have been able to do that, to take that time to be with the Lord. If not, don't forget that it's still very much present and it's still very much part of what we are and who we are as Christians. we tend to think that the disciples were, I don't know, because in art they're painted with halos and all the things which set them apart from us. They are not set apart from us. They are representatives of us. They are us in our many forms and with all the differing personalities. And when that Holy Spirit gripped them, think of Thomas, who wouldn't believe until he had put his fingers in the hands of Christ's scars. Think of Peter, who denied Jesus. Think of all the differing characters that were part of that group that Jesus called. These are those whom the Holy Spirit fell upon with that burning flame, with that transforming spirit. That same spirit is working in the world today. The Pope is due to, I believe, to give some words to us all when he takes a service with the Archbishop of Canterbury and at this Pentecost season. They have been working closer together through this terrible virus. The Pope, I believe, is going to say that virus war and indifference to others are all part of the problems which we face. And as Christians, that indifference, of course, and the other thing was selfish pursuit of success. Those are the things which we must look at carefully after this time of pandemic. And our churches, you know, can be the transforming centres of the world. Our churches are all over the world, be it the great cathedrals or the local churches, in whatever form they are centres of transformation. They are places where people can come together to be loved, to be cared for, to be known, and to be nurtured, and where they can find that very special relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the transforming nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has been working since that day of Pentecost in the Christian giving of that Holy Spirit. But of course, the Spirit of God has always been working in the creation and in the world, and you can see references to it throughout the Old Testament as well. Indeed, I once chose that subject for one of my papers that I was writing, and one of my tutors said many years ago, that's probably the most difficult subject which you chose, because it's so wide-ranging. The Holy Spirit. Think of that pandemic, how quickly it spreads, how quickly it infects people. But then think of the Holy Spirit, which is the exact reverse, but can in itself be caught by people and transform them and strengthen them and help them in so many differing ways. So that is what we as Christians will need to be taking up in the months and in the years to come. Let's use this time as a time of transformation, as a time of working together to help others. Certainly in the UK, all the homeless have been taken off the streets. It's amazing what can be done when governments have the will and the people back it. And, you know, they've had homes, they've had somewhere to go back to. And there were a number of reports from those people, how it has changed their lives. You know, people seem to think, oh, it could never be done. And yet within days, those homeless people were put up in all sorts of hotels and places funded by the government. You know, they were able to get up, have a shower, have something to eat, know where they're sleeping that night in safety and a little bit of comfort. Those people will be transformed through this experience, and they will need to be continued to be helped. And so there must be the will to bring this about. That is all part of working with God as he calls us to care for one another. And so I wish you the blessings of Pentecost in these days to come. So, as the great, one of the great early church fathers, Tertullian, says on prayer, the angels too pray, all of them. The whole creation prays. Cattle and wild beasts pray and bend their knees. And in coming forth from their stalls and lairs, look up to heaven, their mouth not idle, making the spirit move in their own fashion. Moreover, the birds, taking flight, lift themselves up to heaven, and instead of hands, spread out the cross of their wings, while saying something which may be supposed to be a prayer. What more, then, of the obligation of prayer? Even the Lord himself prayed. To him be honour and power for ever and ever. Amen.